This is the Poet and the Poem from the Library of Congress. I am Grace Cavalieri, and we have a feast today of poetry, playwriting, screenwriting, novel, Esperanza Hope Snyder. And she's going to start with one of her own poems.
La Violencia. We once drove past the barricade, a dozen men standing in the middle of the road at night, waiting to slice us open with machetes, cut our throats with the motion of the hand. I remember the episode, remember the night, eerily dark and quiet, the men blocking the road, motioning for us to stop. We came close enough to see their eyes. Grandfather, surprised by his own strength, insisted, "Drive on." Our driver paused, confused, before speeding past that wall of flesh, machetes glinting in the dark. I never understood how anyone could keep on rescuing my brother and me, teaching us what to love in the world, what not to fear. Some nights, I look up at the sky, trying to find the stars I studied as a child, thousands of tiny pins shining. It made me feel small looking up at them. In the Colombian darkness, their brilliance was all I had.
The voice of Esperanza Hope Snyder. What a story. You have so many untold stories. What is this book going to be?
This book is going to be a combination of a weaving of these stories that you mentioned, Grace. A continuation of the first book, which also told stories of the different places where I've lived and the experiences I've had. There will definitely be a part about Colombia, which is something that I always, a country where I was born, a place I love, a place I have very mixed feelings about at the same time. So still working through those emotions and those experiences. And of course, there's going to be more about my life in the U.S.
Yes, born in Bogota. You've lived in Tuscany, Madrid, West Virginia, but your stories about where you came from in your childhood are still unfolding, which is so interesting to me. There are just never-ending things that you have yet to tell us. Esperanza Hope Snyder, when you wake up in the morning, do you say, "I think I'll work on my novel today," or "I think that I'll continue translating someone's poetry"? How do you meet out your various projects? Because you have about 10 on your desk.
Well, I take them, I approach them one at a time, Grace. I put poetry aside at certain times. I'm working on a novel at present. And so I've been, for the last 2 months, I focused on the novel, but I always go back to poetry, regardless of whether I've been working on a screenplay, a novel, a translation. I always have to go back to poetry.
You are a poet who writes a novel. You are a poet who writes a screenplay. This is clear. How many pages do you have already accomplished for your new book?
For the poetry book, I have about 45 pages.
And do you know where it will be published yet?
Not yet. Not yet.
We know one thing, it will be published. I know Sheep Meadow did your last book and it was very beautiful. And Stanley is 97 this week.
I know.
That publishing house has been going on. We'll follow your meteor, Hope. We will. And now I really want to focus on your own poetry in Spanish and English because it is dazzling. I watched your performance in New York recently. So do you begin with English and translate to Spanish?
Yes.
Okay. Well, give us two and start with each English one and please set it up for us so that we know the content. And then after you read the Spanish, we will hear the English and see how much we understood. All of us had high school Spanish.
So would you like me to read the English first or the Spanish first?
Let's go with the Spanish first.
Okay. So the context, this is a poem about Madrid, one of the cities where I've lived, and it's about the neighborhood where I spent some time and a description of my experience there. So it's titled Calle del Príncipe, Madrid, junio 21, 2019. Por una ventana abierta, un perro ladrando invade mi habitación, sinfonía de llaves perdidas. Abajo, cerca Plaza Santa Ana, los hombres se saludan, pequeños príncipes perdidos en un planeta lejano. ¿Es ese sonido de espadas contra espadas el que asciende a la cuarta planta? Melodías de hombres afilando sus vidas. Hoy, el solsticio y la luz madrileña aún a las 10. Una acuarela que nunca se seca. That's Spanish. English. Calle del Príncipe de Madrid, June 21st, 2019. Through an open window, a dog's barking fills my room, symphonies of lost keys. Below, close to Plaza Santa Ana, men greet each other, little princes lost in a faraway planet. Is that the sound of swords, striking swords, I hear rising to the fourth floor? Melodies of men sharpening their lives. Today, the solstice, and Madrid's sunlight, now at 10 p.m. A watercolor that won't dry.
A symphony of lost keys is in itself a poem. It opens up and evokes so much possible. Let's hear another.
So this is La Catedral de Sal en Zipaquirá. It's a salt, it's a mine. It's a cathedral in outside of Bogota that was built in a salt mine. And it's very interesting to visit. And you have altars, you have, it's huge. You even have a tourist shop and it's really way below. So this poem was inspired by the cathedral. La Catedral de Sal en Zipaquirá, Colombia, 2017. Nunca se trató de Dios, sino del oro. A los españoles les gusta corregir la historia, igual que a mi madre, en español y en inglés. Quesada, como queso en español, la primera lengua que aprendí. Permanezco sentada en la catedral, un santuario esculpido dentro de una mina de sal, un templo oscuro sin ventanas que los muiscas una vez minaron. He venido aquí a rezar, a arrodillarme frente al altar bajo una cruz de alita iluminada desde lo alto, a oler el incienso que quema. Ruego poder cruzar el océano de nuevo, ruego no encontrar mi maleta flotando por río frío, porque me estoy cansando de correr, porque me estoy quedando sin palabras para explicar cómo crece el río dentro de mí ahora como entonces. Es difícil olvidar el arte del abandono, ya que he tenido buenos profesores toda mi vida y me han enseñado cómo hacerlo. The Salt Cathedral in Zipaquirá, Colombia, 2017. It was never about God, but about gold. Spaniards like to revise history, as my mother does, in Spanish and in English. Quesada, like queso, cheese in Spanish, the first language I learned. I sit in the cathedral, a shrine carved inside a salt mine, a dark, windowless temple, the Muisca's mind. I've come here to pray, to kneel in front of the altar under a highlight cross lit from above, incense burning. I pray I cross the ocean again, pray I don't find my suitcase floating down Rio Frio, because I'm growing tired of running, because I'm running out of words to explain how a river swells inside me now and then. Hard to unlearn the art of living when I've had good teachers all my life to show me how it's done.
So much direct truth, So much authenticity, no showboating, just like an arrow to the heart. Esperanza Hope was the former writer in residence at Hood College, former poet laureate of Shepherdstown, West Virginia, and the start of the Society for Creative Writing at Shepherd University, and served as poet in residence there. Was the assistant director of Bread Loaf in Sicily, and the question is, how can an administrator possibly remain a poet while presenting, organizing other poets? How does it happen? How long can it happen?
It's very hard, Grace, and I think you understand better than anyone because you've done so many things and you've continued with your art while doing and wearing so many hats. And so you understand very well how there's suffering involved, how there's wanting to be writing, but on the other hand, having commitments to the community, to bring writers and so on. I think you pay a price at some level.
We're talking about actually Esperanza, and people need to know that is a Spanish word for hope, which is very beautiful. What would tell us about Sotto Voce, for example, which was really a fabulous experience in Shepherdstown, West Virginia. You brought in national poets. How many years was that?
That lasted 8 years or so. Yeah. And yes, I started it in Shepherdstown, and many wonderful poets came through Shepherdstown during those 8 years, including Natasha Treadaway, Edward Hirsch, Michael Collier, Ellen Bryan Boyd, Grace Cavalieri.
It was Terrence really Bates. High yeah. holiday. There were readings, there were parties, there were workshops, and there was Esperanza Hope at the reins. So I also want to know about your translations now, because you are now veering out to translate other poets. Who is Wendy Guerra?
Okay, so Wendy Guerra is a Cuban poet and novelist. She's written several novels. I discovered her book of poetry in Bogota over 10 years ago, a while ago, at a bookstore, and started reading it and just loved her outlook, her diction. It was fresh. It was also describing the Cuban experience, the experience of a woman artist living in Cuba. And so she's now living in Miami, and since the pandemic, I believe, I think the pandemic caught her in Miami, but until then she was living in Cuba, traveling because she's also a French citizen. But she wrote a novel, Todo Se Van, Everyone Leaves, which actually was adapted to film and has a very interesting perspective. I really like her work.
How fortunate for her that you found her book in a bookstore. How providential, because we would never know her otherwise. I mean, there's a little bit of magic here. I will know her work. Had you not walked in that bookstore instead of the hat store next door, we would not know her. It is so circumstantial, but so miraculous in a way. Thank you for that service. I'm serious about that. And now for the service of your own, give us back your own poetry. Give us two of your own poems in English.
Okay, so many wars. Tuscany 2000. Even after I moved my suitcases to the villa, the old man, my boyfriend's uncle, refused to grow flowers, said they weren't edible. I can't imagine living 90 years without tasting roses. Such a loss, like soldiers dying in a war far from home. Summers, until Chernobyl's death clouds came, I gathered zucchini, tomatoes, fresh basil from the garden. Most afternoons, the old man napped in the rusted green Skoda my boyfriend's ex-wife once drove into the lake. Hands raw from digging in the overgrown garden, I recall the first time the old man knocked on the door, asked for sweet coffee. Mm-hmm. Between sips, he said, during the war, I kissed a French woman. What war, I asked, but he had forgotten. Evenings, after watering the plants, he rides his Vespa into town, back to his wife, But talking about the woman in France, he cries. Oh, how the heart sings remembering love. I walk by the vineyards, hands clasped, a mother waiting for her son to return from war. The villa is now painted blue, windows in my old bedroom open, curtains shiver in the light. After the old man died, I spent his lire, the war pension he gave me, on creams and perfume, talcum powder. What war? I don't know. Just like I don't know if he had to kill another man to earn his medals. When the woman who drove her Skoda into the lake finally got it right, my boyfriend sent her roses for the funeral.
Esperanza, that is a poem I will teach because of the shifts. You go back and forth against story across time, volta, 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 shifts and different energies. I will teach that poem. That is one to remember. Keep going.
Love poem for my brother. When my mother brought him from Colombia at 15 to start a new life, to make something of yourself, he had never washed a plate or made a bed. In grandfather's house in Bogota, my brother's rare forays into the kitchen were to steal from the maid. After school and ESOL class, Miguel would walk into shops, ask for work in broken English. After weeks of begging the owner of a pizza parlor, he's in a kitchen washing strangers' dirty plates. Maybe that's why he moved back to Bogota for 2 years and sat at a Zen center, breathing in and out, accepting change. Now in West Virginia, for 8 months, he's been sitting at my kitchen table, staring into space. I talk chopped onions, tomatoes, steamed rice, boil water for pasta. Today, he emptied the dishwasher, held a wine glass up to the light.
Mm. What a good line. What a good last line. You know, you have in your former writings discussed a chaotic childhood and transference to different countries, but don't you think that was all to the good? Don't you think that made you the poet, the layered poet that you are? I can't think of it otherwise. As difficult and difficult as it was.
Absolutely. I wouldn't change any of it, Your Grace. I would not, because I think it made me who I am, and it gave me the desire to voice my experience. And I just can't imagine not having those experiences and not being able to write about them.
Yes, I want everyone to know that you are the author of Esperanza and Hope, which is a very clever title because Esperanza means hope, and it also means the virtue and condition of hope. And then a play, The Back Room, which I have read, and two novels, Orange Wine and Holy Viagra. And that will be a new forthcoming book of poems from her and a new forthcoming co-translation of this Cuban poet we talked about. So one more poem in English before we find out how to write a novel.
All right. Dancing in Bogota. In this city, when sunlight dances, rain, mountains in the distance, buildings and more buildings, until the eye falls on green trees, green clouds crowning the mountains, heat rising in crescendo throughout asphalt streets. Women in this Bogota walk swinging their hips, indifferent to the weather. Soft bodies gliding through the city's streets, their sailors sailing on Odysseus's ship, though also sirens seducing, playing sweet, rain clouds floating above endless labyrinths. As a child, I cried every night in this Bogota until I heard my aunt sing, felt her hands reach for me in the dark, her warmth as we waltzed to her bed, perfumed with roses. Dawn found me in the crib alone, so mother wouldn't know my aunt broke her promise.
Oh, so much richness there, so much sensuality, and so much mystery. You know, it's hard to think of a poet being a novelist because a poet's energy is a burst, and a novelist is really the long distance runner. So what is the novel you're working on now?
Well, the novel I'm working on currently is the story of a young girl, and it's starting in Colombia. So I decided to write a novel rather than a memoir because it gives me a lot of freedom and it will be more fun because I'll be able to include all kinds of ideas and thoughts. So it's the story of it's a woman's story from childhood until, you know, middle age.
And where are you in this novel? How is it completed?
It's not completed yet. Holy Viagra is completed. This novel is probably part one is completed.
It's your third novel.
Yeah.
Wow. And the other two are published?
And the other two are with my agent, Madison Smart Bell.
Mm. They'll get there. They will get there. We'll probably have three out at once. And so you start with a character and you start with a situation. Do you know where you're going to go, or does it? Is it a form of self-discovery?
That's an excellent question. Well, the first novel was inspired by my grandparents. So I started with their story, and I started with what I remembered about their story and what I found out about their story, their love story. But throughout the process, as I wrote about them, they were no longer my grandfather and my grandmother. They were these two characters. And I took them wherever I wanted to take them, which was very liberating. And in the end, I changed their story.
How do you know when to stop a chapter?
I write very brief chapters, actually. So I stop. It's an intuition. It's not something I don't have a. The only rule I have is that I don't write very long chapters. I write, short.
I totally recommend that. And what little I know, when I teach writing, I say, our span of attention is really much different from what it was in the 19th century. And those short chapters, I love that when I read a novel with shorter chapters. So would you say 5 pages is a short chapter?
Yeah, 5 pages. Mm-hmm. Yes.
And I've read your play, and I know it was produced in New York. And so how do you write a screenplay? I mean, how does that point of view change? How do you start with a visual? How did you start your screenplay?
Well, it was an interesting experience for me because obviously I wrote the play, and then a former student of mine who's working in LA read the play and said he wanted to direct it. And so that obviously gave me the impetus to start working on it. And so I started reading screenplays. And I started following it's very different. As you know, there's such a focus on action happening, less on dialogue in some instances. So I just basically focused on the action, on actions by the characters that I maybe had much longer monologues and dialogues and so on. So I tried to do that. But then Antonio Nardolillo, the director, also brought in Oscar Torres, who has accolades. He actually has won some awards for screenwriting, and we collaborated. And I learned a lot because Oscar gave his spin on things, and then I knew what I wanted to keep as far as what I had created. But I had learned an awful lot also working with him. And it's already completed, and we're waiting to see if someone would, you know, if it moves forward. But it was quite a learning experience.
Oh, what a fascinating thing you did. How long in the making? How many months?
Oh.
A year? No. 2 years?
Yeah, about 2 years. And, you know, what's interesting about this, Grace, is that the theme of the play, and, you know, because you read it, is about a presidential candidate, a woman who's running for president of Colombia. And gets kidnapped by guerrilla fighters. And so then there's it all happens in the jungle, and there's all kinds of plots and twists and so on in the plot. And there's a comandante gorilla fighter who's the comandante, and they've known each other before, but she doesn't know this, and he knows, and so on. What's interesting about it to me is that the recent elections in Colombia, a former guerrilla fighter was elected for the first time, a leftist-leaning man, for the first time in the history of Colombia. So I got goosebumps, because I thought, regardless of when I started writing this, it's real now. It was almost predicting a future.
Art precedes history. This is right. The guerrilla fighter is the new president of Colombia. This ought to be very good for your PR, I hope.
I hope so.
And so let us hear a little bit of your novel. We're going to go back to your novel, and the title is
Holy Viagra.
This is Holy Viagra. And tell us a little bit what we're going to hear, and then let's hear some of it.
Yes. And this was fun. This was fun to write. So I'm starting. Chapter 1. Roberto Embarrada stood at the door of the Bogota Hilton waiting for Dr. Smith. They walked to the parking garage. Smith managed to get in the Volga without hitting his head. He was too tall for the car, too tall for the country. Roberto, the doctor said, squeezing in, I don't understand why you insist on driving this Russian antiquity. I have contacts. I could get you a Cadillac. Imagine cruising down 7th Avenue in a red Cadillac. I'm sorry, Mr. Smith, Roberto said. I mean, Dr. Smith. I'm attached to this car. A car is like a woman, you know, and I'm faithful to my cars. Smith laughed. Okay, amigo. And what about your women? That's a long story, doctor. Where to? Do you want to visit the plastic surgeon in the north of the city? Or should we go back to the angel specialist with whom you dined last night? Neither one, Smith replied. I don't know if the angel specialist can really talk to archangels, but her angelic face could drive me to sin. Roberto smiled as he looked at the doctor in the rearview mirror. So that's what you like about her, her pretty face? Did she say anything interesting during dinner? He asked. It's not just her face, Roberto. I'd be willing to spend a weekend in hell for the rest of her body. I don't remember what she said. She spoke too fast, and my Spanish is not that good. Smith laughed. But that was last night. I don't have time for hanky-panky today, amigo. Today, it's all about business. Take me to San Andresito, he commanded, handing Roberto a piece of paper with an address on it.
Oh, we're so glad to see that playful side of you, because there are many sides to Esperanza Snyder. And now let us have a final poem.
Okay, so for the final poem, I would like to read The Waiting, which is a poem also about Italy, because as you know, I also love Italy. It's titled, Wings. Wings. That May, on the airplane to Milan, my thoughts turned to leaving, to cutting ties, lies, burning letters. Flying into Malpensa Airport, I flew into a new life, a new love. Tuscan mornings, I opened windows to a sea of vineyards, a sweet scent of grapes ripening, the gentleness in me like deer standing in the dawn mist. Summer afternoons, I took my daughter to the pool, watched her float in armbands. Chlorine on our skin, water all around us, Petrarch's cypress trees lining the road, the Tuscan sky above us. She learned to swim her first summer on earth. I dreamed of giving her wings like Daedalus gave his son. Who knew Icarus would plunge into the sea, searching for freedom? Who knew that after 9 Tuscan summers, love fading out of me, my thoughts would turn to leaving, to taking airplanes, a suitcase, and a child? Everyone forgets that Icarus also flew.
The voice of Esperanza Hope Snyder. This is The Poet and the Poem from the Library of Congress. The series is produced by Forest Woods Media Production. Post-production by Mike Turpin, MAT Studios. We wish to thank the library for making the program possible. Funding is provided by the Snippet Fund, by Sandy Jackson Cohen, and the Anne Arundel Arts Council. Our engineer is Mike Turpin. I'm Grace Cavallari.